Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And there is not one fighter that I've worked with today that can say I never gave it my best for them.
When you must face loads and loads of criticism.
Well, the thing is, I don't listen.
Okay, yeah.
I don't listen, I don't watch. I'm not doing it for the cameras. I'm building something here. And inevitably, remember, I'm not taking Olympic champions. I'm taking raw novices.
Welcome to the George Groves Boxing Club. I'm George Groves. This is Deck. He's always here.
Always here.
But new guest today, Tunde Ajayi. Tunde, thank you very much for coming in, buddy.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, mate.
Yeah.
The George Groves Boxing
Club. It is.
Boxing club. It looks like a posh studio to me.
That's it. Well, it's probably maybe not the clubs that we used to, no. But
yeah. This,
you're in now, mate. You are a fully fledged ECM member. So yes, thank you.
And one of my oldest friends in the sport, Tunde, as well. I've known you and been covering and interviewing you for years. Donkeys.
1,000,000%. I was just saying that to someone in the car. I said, I've known Deck for so long, like, I just can't. It's amazing. It's the evolution and the progression of yourself, and it's really good.
Oh, cheers, mate. Well, we're going to get into.
It's not about you today.
Yeah,
though.
I mean, thanks. And that's the end of today's show. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
We're going to get into George. We've got a proper theme this week, haven't we?
We have.
Because sometimes we just go around the houses a little bit, but this week we've got an actual theme. Tell us.
You tell me.
We're looking at building a fighter from the ground up. Which you've done, obviously, most notably with Anthony Yard, and it continues to happen now, but you're not the only guy that you've kind of done that with.
Yes.
And so we're going to get into your style as a coach, because I think, we spoke a bit before we started, that your style is quite clearly different to many other coaches, in that you don't stockpile 5, 6, 7, 8 guys and get them all out and manage them like that. It's like, no, this is my focus, 1 or 2 people, and I'm going to try and get the best out of you with that sort of relationship. I think it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
So we want to dive into that. But first, George, we're going to go right back to your boxing start. Like, you, before you were a coach, you were a boxer as well.
Yes. It's been such a journey, you know, from just walking into the Champions Gym in Walthamstow. Remember, Alan Mortlock had some unlicensed fighters at the time, and he had Mark Potter. I remember Potter was his only professional
the
fighter.
Big heavyweight.
Yeah, and I remember walking in and seeing the Bowen brothers, Michael and Paul Bowen. You know, I think Paul was Southern Area super middleweight champion. Michael,
big puncher.
Michael was a big puncher. You know, finished his career undefeated with so many knockouts. It was just like a it's like magic to me. I was like, wow, this is what you mean. You punch people, you get paid money. I was like, what? Coming from where, you know, the background I've come from, it was all a blur to me. So I just said, let me just go in a ring. I remember there was a guy, I'll never forget his name, Paul Kavanagh. Went in a ring, bam. Yeah, he felt the dentist. And after that, they called me the dentist because I knocked his teeth out. And I thought I was a boxer. I thought I was, you know, Mike Tyson.
And, so just in the gym?
Just in the gym, yeah. In the champion gym. Literally just walked in there one day and that's where it all started. You know, I had two unlicensed fights, two first round KOs, and then I remember Peter De Freitas, Nigel Benn's trainer at the time, coming up to me and said, "Oh yeah, you know, you look good. Like, turn professional." And I was in my head, you know, I'm a street savvy and that. I was like, ain't you supposed to do amateurs before you turn professional? Yeah. Like, I thought, you know, there's a route to doing this. And so I went into the Lynn Boxing Club, which was literally across the road from my house. Keith Waters, you know, Sherman, the ABAs at the time, I don't know if he is now, had five amateur fights. And then I said, yeah, I'm ready to turn pro. It was just literally like that. You know, had five professional fights. I bought out the area because I was a person that was known on the streets. Used to have parties and hold dances and as they call it. So everybody was representing me very early on. Had the five pro fights, got injured, had an injury, had a lot of personal issues outside as well. But before I finished my pro career, I was training a young man called Junior McDonald, who was a computer engineer for Hewlett Packard at the time. And so he knew I was a boxer, he knew I was a name, so he's like, oh yeah. So I started training him at a gym in Peckham called the LA Gym. Lo and behold, Junior gets through, wins the Southern Area County ABAs at heavyweights, the quarters, gets all the way to the national finals, faces Tony Bellew in the final, and he lost against Tony Bellew in the final. But I'm like, I'm doing this for, like, this is a joke. Like, I'm not even trying to be a trainer. Then another kid, Akash Bhatia, Southern Area champion as well, used to train him. I was training him, same place, Peckham Gym, LA Gym. I wasn't a trainer at this time. I had no professional license. Got all the way to the ABA final. Again, lost against Stephen Smith of the Smith Brothers.
I remember that fight.
Yeah. And I was like, bro, I must be good at this. I'm like, this is like, I'm not even, you know, I'm giving it like 20%. I'm just meeting them at the, you know, meeting them in the evenings and training them. And so Spencer Fearon came to me. Obviously, Spencer was a name in boxing. Him and Danny Williams had, you know, they were doing a documentary, and Spencer had heard about me training and the style I was developing in this small corner of a weights gym in Peckham. Anyway, so me and Spencer started training. I think it was about 5 weeks. He was training with Adam Booth at the time, David Hay and Danny Williams. Lo and behold, David. So I remember I didn't have my license, so I couldn't be in a corner with Spencer for his fight, epic fight with Dave Walker. But I trained Spencer for that. I don't think Spencer had ever knocked anyone over in a professional ring. And, you know, I remember he chinned David Walker, ran to the corner like he just won the World Cup. And then he come back and then David put him down and then Spencer put it. It was like epic fight. I think it got fight of the year.
Yeah. It's on YouTube if you ain't seen it.
If you ain't seen it, go watch that fight. What a fight. You know, so Spencer was like, well, you got it. You know, if you can do that with me in like 4 weeks, what would you do? And it was because of Spencer Fearon, I actually entered the professional boxing game as a trainer. Because of Spencer. I had no intention of getting a professional license. I'd done what I'd done with Akash and Junior McDonald. I tried my own career. That didn't work. And from then, it's just grown. And I went into training fighters. I remember I had, I think, 3 attempts at a Southern Area. I remember Chad Simmons, Frank Maloney said to me, yeah, Twin, just train him for this fight. And I'm a person, I go by my feeling. I've never been motivated by money, anything. I'm doing what I want to do. And I can thank God that I've kept that same, you know, persona all the way through. So I remember Frank asked me to train Chaz, and my gut instinct said, nah, don't do it, Tun. Like, he's just not your type of guy. You know, he's not committed. He doesn't want to do. But anyway, Chaz was waking up in the morning. I was driving down to Sydenham, running up Sydenham with him. These are the days when I used to run and everything with the fighters up at Crystal Palace and everything. Anyway, Chaz made Russ Simmons look like Sugar Ray Leonard that day. I was so embarrassed, you know, because he had Johnny Eames in one corner, who I used to train with.
Yep.
Well, I used to train myself, but Johnny Eames was there. So that was the first one. Junior McDonald was the second attempt at the Southern area. Junior lost against Tommy Eastwood, Traveller Boy. Remember, I don't know if you remember Tommy.
Yeah, George. He was good.
Tommy. And I remember that taught me a lot about sparring, which is the philosophy.
We're going to get into that.
Which we're going to get into. But we won't talk about that. But Junior got stopped by Tommy Eastwood. So that was live on Sky Sports. And I remember Cash was up next fighting. And I was so down. I remember walking to the ring, you know, having two guys on the same night, top of the bill. And I thought, oh man, this is heartbreaking for me. Anyway, after that, did I have anyone else? Yeah, so it was Junior McDonald lost, Chaz Simmons lost, and then, Kurt wasn't for this. So then after that, I had three Southern Area champions back to back. You know, Akash stopped Mark, I forgot his surname, Mark something. Tony Salem, who had been knocked out by, who's the Olympics? Courtney Frye. Do you remember that?
I remember Tony Salem.
Yeah,
he was on the squad when he was on squad.
Really, and everyone was running and raving about Tony Salem, the new Sugar Ray Leonard, or the new Roy Jones, the Nigerian Roy Jones, because he came over with that Nigerian squad, Olusegun, Larry. So there's three of them. So he got knocked out. He walked into the gym. I said, oh, uncle, please train me. Obviously, he's a guy who's just been stopped by a Commonwealth gold medalist. So again, I took on that challenge. Boom. Wins the Southern Area title. Tony Salem walks into the gym the next day. Ah, I've arrived. We don't need Frank Warren no more. And I was like, mate, I don't move like that. Like, you know, the people that helped you come up, you stay with them regardless, win, lose or draw. And so I felt there was a, you know, there was a certain loyalty that was owed to Frank for getting him that fight. Yeah. Especially coming off of a loss.
You're a pro boxer.
Yep.
And you're just helping out these guys.
Yes.
But they're having success.
Yes.
Do you know why that was? Do you know, Joe, what was you bringing to the table there and then? Did you already have your training philosophies in you?
Yes.
And what were they?
Not in me. I didn't have them in me. What is, I was so studious. Anything I've ever done in my life, that's a lie. I was about to say anything about that. Yeah, that's a lie. But once I found boxing, I was like, I'm going to do this, hook, line and sinker. And I would watch tapes over and over and over again. And then I devised a system of combinations. And then I wrote a dossier, like over 50,000 combinations, like a 10,000 page book of combinations. And so I would do that with the fighters, you know. Certain, I remember we used to have one called the Cotto. We used to have the Hopkins. We used to have the Eastman, Howard Eastman. Remember? So yeah. What was
Howard Eastman? Can you remember?
Howard Eastman was he used to hold and then drive. So he used to drive with an uppercut as opposed to turn it.
Right.
So we used to do that, drive and then a left hook and a right hand. But Howard used to do it in such a controlled manner. It was one of his key combinations. After studying him, and this is the stuff I used to do, you know, religiously, from morning to night, every day, writing down, I've got every sequence I've ever done is handwritten, so I've got that, and to this day, and so I constantly built the system, and I was, you know, the embryonic days was Akash, Junior McDonald, and other fighters, so. It's the same system. I've never changed it because it's just too much information.
Were you that committed to your own boxing, or do you enjoy being that committed to your training?
I've always been a giver. Givers gain. I believe that with all my heart. Givers gain, and there's a joy that I don't think can be replaced by anyone or anything when you watch another person grow and develop because of the time and the effort that you're giving them. which is why I take training so seriously, and I won't be disrespected, never, because, and there is not one fighter that I've worked with today that can say I never gave it my best for them. Usually they get to a certain level, they get bigger, and they piss off. But again, I believe that you continue to be who you are, and one day at some point, whether you're young or old, you will find that match, and you will find someone that is as loyal as you. It's a long waiting game, but I say, moving, you know, when we talk about it, you know, I felt and I know that I found that in Anthony Yard. Mm-hmm. You know, someone who's been with me through the ups and the downs, and I've been with him through the ups and the downs, personal and business, and that's great. You know, a person just needs one of them to feel satisfied with life, because if you can get one person that you can trust in business, because I think it's easy to trust someone when there's no money about, but when there's money involved, you know, big money. And even when you feel a person's made a mistake, you don't judge them based on that one mistake. You try to look at the journey and where you've come from, and the times when you wasn't so high. That takes a lot.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you was going to describe your relationship with your fighters... in a sort of a family setting, would you say you're more of like a big brother guidance, or you say more like a father?
I think I'm that brother, I think I'm that father, I think I'm that friend. I'm the person that you can have an argument with on Monday. Tuesday morning, I'm in the gym. I'm ready. I've forgotten about everything. And literally, Anthony has always said it to me. I'm not like that, Unks. You know, me. I would say something that might hurt, and he'll hold it for a good like 2 weeks. And I'm like, well, we're working. What's going on? But I'm just not that way. You can say whatever you want about me. When we've set a goal, when we say we're gonna be a world champion, it doesn't matter what happens along the way, it's always the final destination. And because of that, I've just got a drive and a will and a determination in me that will never allow me to hold on to any ill feeling. And that goes with fighters that have gone, contracts that I've had with fighters. And because of the way I am, maybe I'm silly, I've said, go. Legally, I'm in my right to take you to court, sue you. I'm not talking about big fighters. I don't need to call no names, but big fighters that I've worked with. But I feel it's given me a free spirit, a soul, a freedom in itself, whereby I never have to go to bed at night thinking about, you know, betray might be a strong word, but it is betrayal. It is betrayal.
Yeah, do you feel that? You feel that?
100%. It's betrayal. It's betrayal because you got someone, and I get it. There's not many people like that. You know, my uncle and my dad and have always said to me, there's only about five people or people on your hand that really are with you when things get tough. So
that's the business then, isn't it?
It's the business. Like,
if it was business and you just went with a different supplier, yes, different contractor, you'd be like, oh, that's a bit disappointing. But if it was sort of a family like or a real tight friendship relationship, which I suppose, could you train a fighter and not have that?
No.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. Like, I said this on an interview years ago on Box Nation. I said, I get the business. I come from a, you know, my dad's a chartered accountant. My mother's a nurse. But I understand business. I understand that you can be in a room with another person and they'll be saying all these good things. You turn your back and they're saying, and I understand that, you know, it's hustling. And I get it because I'm from a particular environment. So that's cool. I never let that get in the way of, you know, what has to be done. I just believe that, and I've said it for years, I don't know what Frank says behind my back. Yeah, I'm saying probably fucking cunt. Yeah, so sorry. But I can only go by what's in front of me. And I understand that he's a great businessman.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his own family. I've got my own family. I think when you get to a certain time in terms of how long you've been working with someone, you kind of expect certain things, but I think anyone would be naive to think that business is not business. And I get that now more than ever. I've had to get burnt a few times in the past, but I understand that. But I don't let that. I feel the relationship with fighters is different to promoters, managers and everything like that, even though I am a manager. But I just feel that with individuals, boxers, these young men only have a protracted period of time. As a trainer, you can go on and on and on. So the fighter always has to do what's best for them. But I feel it's great when you've got a trainer that wants the best for the fighter as well. Mm. Because ultimately, the fighter's going to have people in their ears and everything like that, always trying to say there's a better deal here, there's a better deal there. But the fighter must inevitably do what's best for him.
Let's go back to the start of the Anthony Yard story. Now, yes, as I understand it, Tunde, he turned up in the gym, asked you to train him, and you said, go away and win something.
Yeah, 100%. Because I had so many people at the time. Like, I was training so many fighters. Like, people would come to, like, obviously there's this new kid doing these Mayweather pads as everyone was knocking me and everything like that. So the gym was packed, literally. And I don't know why, because I don't really feel, I had never said that to anyone else. I never said go away and win something, but such were the was the demand. You know, I remember I had so many fighters in Peacock Gym at that time, and O'Hara came and I was like, yeah, win something. So, and being the stubborn guy he is, like, ah, cool. You know, but little did I know that at this time Anthony was like stopping kids in the amateurs, but I just was so focused on what I was doing and my dreams. I didn't really inquire about what he was doing. It was just that question. And he done that. He went away, won the box cup, stopping everybody. And he, you know, brought back the medal and said, yeah, would you train me now? I said, yeah, listen, I see you tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. I don't know how I got this boy to the gym at 5 a.m. because he definitely ain't coming to the gym at 5 a.m. now, which I would love if he did. But that's never been Anthony. He's always been a cool dude. You can't rush him for nothing. And yeah, that was the beginning of it. And we trained, I think it was, we trained for about 2 years before he even turned pro. Because after about 80 really? Months, I was like, you know, I was taking him around sparring. I remember he sparred Chris Eubank Jr. You know, he was even sparring DeGale. James DeGale, and I just thought he was ready. And he said, "Ah, oh, Unks, just give it a little bit more time. Let me just wait." So again, you've got to admire that. Someone who knows what he wants in his career. So another 6 months, and then, yeah, he turned professional. And it's been it's been a magnificent journey so far.
But you have a lot of unconventional methods. Is that fair to say?
You know what?
Where, not,
you
not, know, that's not
for
not,
him.
That's not an attack.
No
way.
I mean? No
but,
way.
And the question behind that is, like, obviously you've got your formula for what you think may success, and you have the courage and the confidence to pull it off
yeah.
as such. When you must face loads and loads of criticism.
Well, the thing is, I don't listen.
Okay, yeah.
I don't listen, I don't watch. Like, I've said this from the beginning. If you got time to worry about what people are saying, you really are not working. You're not focused on your job, because ultimately, just even a brief look at history would show you that anyone, whether you're the cleanest cut person in the world, you're going to face, you know, adversity or resistance. You know, my thing is, whatever you resist persists. So I never was in the or about the business of worrying what someone was saying to me, because I was working so hard, like literally morning to night. I remember Peacock used to open at 5 a.m. I remember I would, first of all, this was before I had a car, I would run from South London, Peckham, Blake's Road, I can say it now because I'm not there no more. Blake's Road, Peckham. I would run in the morning to Peacock Gym and be outside there at 4 a.m. an hour before, and just wait outside. The gym would open at 5 and I would literally stay in the gym till 9 p.m. at night. Every day, watching boxing. You know, the guys would come and meet me in the gym and I'd be sleeping at the top there. And going back to what you were saying about unconventional, I really don't think it is. Like,
Well, like, for example, Anthony Yard trained with you for 2 years with yes. no bouts.
No, that's...
Bit unconventional, yeah?
That is very unconventional because, you know, these so-called top trainers, they want ready-made packages. They want ABA champions. They want Olympic gold medalists and everything like that. That was never my journey. There's no hatred or, you know... I'm not sitting down saying, oh, why ain't they coming to me or anything like that? Because I just don't feel... I feel everyone has their own journey. It just so happened that I've always been a hard worker. And I like seeing people develop. Not so much today. Now, I feel like I've done my 10,000 hours.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've done that was my just the first year.
Yeah. I've done my 10,000 hours and I've earned the right to have people come to me above a certain level.
Yeah.
But again, I went against my own words and will recently by picking up Joe. Again, Joe only had 12 amateur fights, same like Anthony. And, you know, he's 4-0 now, and I'm working with him day in, day out. And that's definitely unconventional.
Yeah. So is it better in some ways to get him, like, brand new? Like, there's no good habits, but there's no bad habits. You can mould them in your own.
Yeah, you build the foundation. Design.
Yeah, there's always bad habits because they can't box. You know what I'm saying? They can't box. Like, they think they can box. They watch a few Mike Tyson and Floyd Mayweather tapes. But they can't box.
If you've got a pro who's been pro 7 years, and
yes.
he's got 3-4 years left, and he comes to you,
yes.
he's already fully set in his ways, isn't he? And that's got to be tough to unpick and break down.
No,
or would you just
I'll still do it? I'll find that the easiest thing. I've done it, and if you look at the guys that I've done at that level, you know, Spencer had his most memorable fights at the end of his career with me. Mm. Tony Salem got knocked out, came to me. This is talking about a person who was in the Olympics or what have you, came to me, and he was a Southern Area champion in his first fight. I just believe I've got a system that can reprogram and rewire their whole mind very quickly. And I can do that with anyone.
What happened? What are the methods when Anthony comes in, he's Box Cup champion, but a raw novice,
yes.
between that point and his pro debut, that 18 months, what does the training look like? How do you craft him into the boxer that you want him to be?
I never tell him what he's doing is wrong. It's just repetition. If you keep doing the right thing over and over again, hopefully, you know, you get the best out of them. And let's not get it right. Anthony is supremely gifted. He is a person. What he's got, what a lot of people don't have, is a belief. A belief in the person who's in front of him. Because Ant doesn't have many... like, his friends are the same way he's had since school. You don't see Anthony with new friends or new people around him. But whoever he's around, he believes in them 100%. I think that's a very, very key factor. But with me and Ant, it has always been, we're better today. We're better today. We're better today. Okay, we lose in Russia. All right, cool. We got it quicker than anyone else. And, you know, we nearly had a pound for pound out on his feet in that eighth round, and we tried our best. I don't want to say we, but he tried his best. But collectively, we all tried our best. Again, I brought a novice team of trainers to the top of the mountain, including myself. I was a novice to that level so quickly with the help of Anthony Yard. And so everything I've done is just, it's all, I've always looked back and I've like, wow, this is something. So it's a gift.
Who do you bounce ideas off? Like, who? How do you come up with your philosophy for training and boxing? Is there anyone you look up to? Anyone you've got?
Well, in terms of boxing, it has always been Floyd Mayweather and Roger Mayweather. So much so that I would say I was the first person. I was the first one to go to that gym and bring a group of boys, Junior Benjamin, Otto Sabah, O'Hara Davis, Anthony Yard, to Las Vegas. Well, they bought themselves because most of them paid for their own ticket. but you know, when we went to that gym in 2012, there was no big TMT and all of that. You know, Floyd was a world champion, obviously. But I was so hungry and dedicated that I wanted to go there and learn from the best and find out what was so great about America. Come to find out that it's not that great. It's just, yeah, you know, it's a numbers game, isn't it? Mm. If you've got 10,000 fighters, you're gonna get at least 100 fighters, you know. And that was it, because what most shocked me is that the ethics of Floyd Mayweather wasn't translating to the fighters. You know, so we were doing like all the fighters. I remember at the time, Badu Jack, Andrew Tabiti, Ashley wasn't there when I first got there, but then he came later.
Ashley Fearfane.
Yeah, all these guys went there after me. You know, I went to California, Freddie Roach's gym, on my own. Sat down in the corner of a gym. One fight I remember was Matthew Macklin. Mm. I remember Matthew coming in the gym. Yeah, but I was literally nobody. I was that person just sitting on the chair, that little gym, and just watching fighters come in and train, and I was just picking up knowledge. And most people have never even heard this story. Most people don't know this about me. They think I'm just some guy doing pad work, the Mayweather pads. Mm. But it's so funny to me, the same pad work what they mocked, you see trainers doing it today. Slyly, you know, they ain't never going to say, we were the same people that was slagging off Tundi all them years ago. But I feel comfort in that as well, to show you that, you know, it's not rocket science. If you want to be the best, just copy the best. it's like, you know, this is your ideal fighter, whether it's Lennox, whether it's Mike Tyson, just watch tape, copy him, go out, you know, repeat. You're never going to be them, but, you know, you may hit somewhere around. And so, again, one of the reasons why I took myself from the UK and went there to watch him over and over again, and then becoming his friend, and then being in the house with him and sitting down and talking to him and realizing how studious this guy is, not just at work. But let's get it right. Floyd has come from a generation of fighters. He got the lucky dip, you know, from his dad, from Roger, from Jeff. And that's generational knowledge, you know, given to, you know, one son. Mm. And
hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot.
So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See
terms and conditions. 18 plus. He really bounced off all of that experience, was trained very hard and in a particular manner over and over again from such a young age. So yes, you have the natural ability, but the work ethic which blew my mind. Yeah. And I was like, all right, cool. Whatever you're doing, I'm doing. So I would come back to London, train these young men for hours, and then people would be in a gym like in Peacock Gym. They'd be like, ah, that's what they do. What they do is hit pads. They hardly ever spar. So me, I like rumours. Mm. I like people to be talking nonsense. I nearly swore there, but yeah, I like people to be talking nonsense because I've always got that self-belief and that knowledge that that's just not what it is. You know, I'm not doing it for the cameras. I'm building something here. And inevitably, remember, I'm not taking Olympic champions. I'm taking raw novices. The other young man, Otu Saba, never boxed. 12-year-old kid, trained him all the way to... And that's where it became famous because we used to do all these exhibitions. Mm. And being a giver, I was helping him fulfill that dream. It was never my intention to turn pro in or have a career in America because I'm like, I got work ethic, so I don't need to be around these guys. I'll do the same thing back here. And we made it happen. And I'll never forget Sky Sports phoning me when we actually done the deal. Otu was on the undercard of, and you go and look at the program, Floyd Mayweather versus Marcus Maidana 2. And I remember I'd been bringing Otu over there for a few years sparring, and one day we had Otu sparring a guy that Floyd was about to sign, and Otu just done a number on him, you know, because being a big mouth, you know, they was always like, oh, these UK guys. I was like, shut your mouth, man. Shut. Like, I was just violent in there. Like, everyone was quiet when they went to America, especially Floyd Mayweather's gym. So I'd always shout over everyone, you know, and show them that, yeah, you got guys on the UK that can smash you guys up as well. So it's 2 days before Otu's professional debut. And then I get a call from Leonard Ellerby. Said, oh, man. The young man's failed his brain scan. Bear in mind, I've been training Otu since he was 11 years old. So I've given up 9 years of my own time as well. To get to that point where he wanted to be, to finally hear the news that, he won't be able to turn professional. Mm. I emptied my bank account, spent money to do private tests. I was like, no, I'm a very spiritual person. I'm like, nah, God ain't gonna let us go so far and everything like that. But it wasn't to be. But again, my dad was like, oh, look at this, 9 years of your life wasted training this young man. But I've never given up a dream, you know. And then O'Hara, I had lots of people, Craig Richards, Kevin Mitchell, all these guys, the Azim brothers. All of them. I trained them from six, seven years old. Adam Azim, Hassan Azim. Their amateur coach, I forgot what club they was, but they tried to argue with me on Facebook. And I was like, no, I'm not going there, mate. You get what I'm saying? Like, oh, we trained them. I'm like, well, you think I'm in this for who we training? But I'm just saying, like, I was training these kids since they've been young.
I saw it on Sky this week.
Yeah.
You and Adam Azim clip.
Six, seven years old.
So small with it.
So tiny. And I remember me and JB Moore was talking about it the other day. Like, I've done my work. I've proven to myself that I can take anyone. That's the system I built. And it's not ego or anything like that. It's a self-gratification, knowing that I can come from a particular environment, put all my time, effort, have fun while doing it. And I remember with Anthony in Peacock Gym, people was always slagging me off and, they're never going to get anywhere and you should leave that gym and go and somewhere else, because the hatred was so much. The hatred against me was so much. Like that, being a stubborn person, I'm like, I don't care. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm gonna show you that I'm gonna prove in this gym that I can take someone to the top of the mountain. And we did it.
Did you and Anthony have any conversations like that when it was lots of pressure coming from outside circles saying, he needs a new trainer, he needs a new trainer.
I know, Ant always told me. I've watched Anthony grow from 19 years old, 20 years old, till now he's 32 or 31 or 32. And Ant always says to me, Unks, you don't know these, the amount of people that have been in my ears. He would never tell me, because I'd just go down there and fly kick who's ever trying to, you know.
The hatred that you spoke of is so true. I don't think there's been a trainer in this country that who got hated more, which is quite weird. And at the time, I remember thinking, fucking hell, I know Tunde, like, I don't really understand this, but it was something that you had said, or the way that you would. I think it was about, and we'll go straight into this now. I think it was about the sparring thing.
Like, yes.
It was around that time, and it was before the Kovalev fight,
I believe.
When it came out that you went, I don't believe in sparring. I don't think Anthony should be sparring.
Yes.
Talk us through that, because people said, again, like Mayweather, people said, he says that, but he doesn't actually mean it, because behind closed doors, they still do normal sparring. What's the truth?
Well, that's the joke, George and Dick. Yeah. Like, listen, to this day, if you look on Ant's social media and my social media, all we do is laugh and crack jokes. We make boxing look so enjoyable, people don't even think we train. Like, they just think it's messing about. To this day, that is really just the thought process amongst everyone. And me and Anthony was having this interview with Danny Flexen. Obviously, Dan, I know Dan, innit? So, like, I just literally cracked a joke. I'm like, he don't need a sparring partner. I'm his best sparring partner. Because if he can beat me, because my
dentist,
I'm active. He can beat the dentist. He can beat anyone in the world. Yeah. I've developed this system. Can't tell me nothing. Like, no one ain't even got this. So, if Anthony Yarr can beat me in sparring, he can beat anyone in the world. It was a joke. Years later, even the other day, I'm listening to these American podcasters. Man, that Tunde, man, he ruined Anthony Yarr, man. He don't even smile. So I'm like, all right, cool. And that's the difference between me and all these guys you see doing pads and doing it for show. The proof's in the pudding. That who have they trained to a certain level? Where? You know, I think the greatest person, God rest his soul, was Coach Rick. But again, it shows
Anthony was sparring at the time.
Come on, George. You work this out. And that's why I started to say.
But I think you're so maverick. You're so unpredictable.
Yeah, I can see that.
If anyone said to me, which trainer said this, and who do you believe? I say, well, it was probably Tunde. Because he does his own thing.
I'm like, all right, cool.
And so, I didn't hear the line that you said, he only spars me.
Because
that sounds a little bit more of a joke. You're like, if you can get through me, you can get through the dentist. And I would have got that. But if it was just like, Anthony Yarr just doesn't spar. I remember, I can't remember what it was, but someone asked me, going, is that a good idea? And I'm like, well, each to their own. But personally, I think the sparring is not a bad idea.
My thing was like, all right, cool. So if we don't spar and we've got to the top of the mountain twice from nothing, well, then everyone would better stop sparring. I'm saying that was how I rationally thought about it. But I just think that it shows more what most people have in their hearts. You know, why would you be jealous and envious, and why would you speak negatively about someone who obviously is working very hard? Because you reap what you sow. You wouldn't have become a world champion if you didn't put your whole mind, body, spirit into becoming a world champion. It's the same way Anthony Yarr would not have, you know, and the world title still evades us, or him personally, but I know how hard Anthony works, because I work with him. I'm in the gym with him every day. Even more recently, you go and ask the Commonwealth Games gold medalist of this year, you go and ask him how sparring was with Ant. Anthony's not a joke. You know, Anthony, and he does never spar like he's... which is one thing I don't allow anyway.
Before we have a break, I wanted to touch on one fight in particular. You mentioned the Kovalev fight.
Yes.
Which obviously nearly stops Kovalev, ends up getting stopped himself. A good up and down fight.
Yes.
But most recently, so that's one Russian killer that he's had to box for his first world title fight. His second one comes against the other one.
Wow.
Artur Beterbiev, or Beterbiev.
Yes.
For the world title in London. Again, like...
What a fight.
What a fight. It gives... as good as he gets, obviously he ends up getting stopped. But talk us through how you prepare for a fight of magnitude, bearing in mind you've had Anthony since he was a raw novice, and now he's got one of pound for pound biggest punchers, one of the biggest beasts the division's ever seen, mm-hmm. and he has to try and beat him for his world title. Yes. Like, how do you set about doing that?
Again, it's the individual challenging yourself. Just like the first fight, we were going to get stopped in two rounds, three rounds, just not that level. And it's funny, when people talk about experience, well, we've already fought Kovalev, we've got experience. Mm-hmm. And he's had 27 wins, 26 knockouts. The reason why the others have got knocked out, not because they're easy fighters, is because Anthony, unless it's a certain level, he ain't getting challenged. All these British boys, with all due respect, they can't test Andy Yard. He's just too explosive and too calm and composed, and has a tremendous boxing IQ. But you've got to challenge yourself. You've got to find out if you're really it. You know, that's what I personally believe. I mean, a lot has changed now. As we were seeing, you know, fighters just taking a check. Like, you're seeing KSI and all these boys making all this money. You're like, well, what am I doing all this? what am I going through all of this for? But again, everybody's journey and story is different. This is the journey which he has chosen as a fighter and which I've chosen as a trainer. And the preparation is the same. Like I told all the fighters I've ever worked with, this is a sport where you can't leave nothing to chance. You have to prepare diligently. You have to put everything you got and know into it. And you need good people around you. Mm. And again, after we lost to Lennon Arthur the first fight, which we all know why he lost the first fight, just because of the deaths. Like, when Frank offered me the fight, I'm like, what? Come on, man. That's easy work. Mm. And I'm not, that's not disrespectful.
Just for listeners, because that might be go, what death? But Anthony had some personal losses during COVID.
Yeah, he lost 6 family members in COVID in the space of about 8 to 12 weeks.
And then he boxed Lyndon Arthur during lockdown.
And I remember a couple of days before, I'm like, Ant, I don't know, I don't think we should take this. And Ant was like, bro, I'm on fire. Like, we're going in. Because it's always a joint decision between me and Anthony, and sometimes I might have a bit of doubt, sometimes he might have a bit of doubt, but when we collectively say we're going in. And so there was never ever excuses per se. I felt Anthony won the fight anyway, because the scorecards were so indifferent, but we'd never been in that position where we've gone 12 rounds. And so that was good. That got ticked off. But that weren't Anthony in the first fight. And so, again, after coming under a lot of barrage, leave the trainer, this, that, me and Anthony was like, ah, cool. We're going to show you what time it is. Like, you're going to show you that you on this level and we're on that level. Mm. And me and Anthony, let me put Anthony aside, because Anthony, I know he trained like no other. Me, I never slept. I probably was having about 3 hours sleep every day, because I'm saying, you guys are not going to test us this one. I'm going to show you that Anthony Yard is a special fighter. And you saw what happened in the rematch. I mean, going back to what you're saying in terms of preparation, it's always, nothing changes. Mm. From the very beginning, Ant was training like a demon from when he was an amateur, 2 years before turning pro, training with me as an amateur, because that's all I expect. I won't allow a fighter that's around me to be sub or below what I know is inside of him. Mm. And oftentimes it takes a coach, a teacher, a trainer to bring that out of an individual. Sometimes the fighter doesn't know he's got it. Sometimes me as a trainer, I'm putting so much into them, I'm not getting nothing back. So when they're inevitably left on their own, which is where they're going to be in a ring, Tundi steps out and you the pads is all good and everything, but you know what? I'll be on this side of the ring and I'll let you go. Ultimately, it's the final. Yeah. And again, perception. All these years, people thought I'm making it all about me. After that, better be a fight to see the headlines. The whole, even remember Dean Ollerton, who's, again, such a beautiful human being, that's helped us, helped me personally all the way through my boxing journey, like yourself, Dick. He's like, we were sitting on the same table, and he's like, it's all changed. And imagine that, one night in defeat, in defeat, the whole landscape on the thinking, well, not everyone, because you can't change everyone, but the way I'm perceived in the boxing world has changed based on the decision I made to stop the fight. Because, and then shortly after, Ben Davison done it with Lee Wood. But I feel, again, I set a precedent there at a high level in this country for putting my fighters' health and well-being first before. Because I remember people were messaging me on Instagram, you want to hear what they were saying in the crowd? I told you he needs a new fighter. He should have let Ant go. And Ant would have fought on. These guys have been boxing since they're 6 years old, 7 years. Anthony started boxing when he's 19 years old. And more than three quarters of that career has been with me. And so, and me as a trainer, I don't have no generational heritage to look back on or feed on or get. I'm the first. We're all the, you know, myself, Anthony, you know, we're doing this for the first time. There's no, we don't have a blueprint to follow. Everything is just study. Go back and do it. Study. Trial and error. Study, study. So, yeah, it's just been wonderful.
George, remind me again, how become an elite club member?
Well, get a GGBC cap.
Done. What else?
Well, you could wear the hoodie.
Anything else?
Well, have you got a water bottle?
Anything else?
You could get a print for the wall.
It's cost me a fortune. Anything else?
Well, this is what it takes to be elite, Deck.
Does that mean I'm in the club now?
Nearly. One last thing. Just hit the follow button in your podcast app. Welcome to the club, Deck.
Oh, we'll have a push and a pull, mate.
So, Tunde, what I want to ask is, you've already told us that there's no blueprint. You're a work in progress. You're learning on the job as such, right?
Yes.
And you back yourself because you work hard. You've brought Anthony Yard from raw novice, pretty much, go away, to win something, come back. He's come back with his medal and you've got him to his first world title against Kovalev. This was your first time in the corner for a world
for
title
world
fight?
Title, yes.
You know, you're away from home. I mean, was it a bit frightening?
Listen, let me give you another joke and story. So, we're on the train, me, Ade, and Anthony. I get the phone rings. I said, look, FW. So I said, oh, yeah, that's Frankie Blue Eyes. Boom. What's going on, Frank? Yeah, Twin, there's this fight, yeah? Yeah, Kovalev. I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. We're there. Then I look at, and I goes, where is he? He goes, he's got to go Russia for it. So I look at Ade and there goes, Unks, I know you're on this God thing, but bro, we need a couple man. It's like, we need a couple man with us. Yeah. Like, guys who's strapped and everything like that. Cause you can't be just walking into Russia and everything like that. And I'm like, no. God's with us. We don't need no one. And I can see the both of them thinking, yeah, but yeah. let me just get
Rocky. I really hope God's with you there.
I think, yeah. So I'm like, I'm telling you, man, don't worry. We got this. This is all aligned. Like, this is our time. Like, we don't need to worry about nothing. We got this far, having this faith. Why would we worry about going to Russia? Little did I know it was Chelyabinsk with, you know, killings and stuff like that. But anyway, we rolled on faith.
Me anyway.
And Ant, but anyway, yeah. Me and Ant, you know, business class.
Nice.
Get to the airport. The luggage gone. No
what
luggage.
Start.
In business class. Only two black guys on the flight. And our business. So that's when, again, experience. You're starting to know the games that go on at that level of the sport. You know, get to the hotel. No hot water. No food for us. It was just, there's so much things that went on prior to that fight night that went on, which we never ever spoke about, you know.
Don't worry, you weren't the first.
Yeah.
You won't be the last.
Yeah, because
I heard the story.
It happens
everywhere.
Yeah, I heard the stories. But again, it's just that faith thing. And we, you know, we went in and fight night came and it was good and I was good. I can't say that there was any visible nerves for myself, and because we just had this conversation. Remember, we was unbeaten at the time. It was like, this is how the story was supposed to go and is going, and there's no way, you know, I'd never seen people talking about stamina issues. I'd never seen Ant get tired in sparring sessions. I'd never even seen him get tired when we're pushing him and doing fitness tests and stuff like that. So, but again, I learned a lot about boxing that night as well. You know, the occasion, the atmosphere, all of that plays a massive factor on your stamina, because it's your mental thinking and the IQ.
So Yard hurts Kovalev.
Yeah.
What's happening for you though in the moment? Are you making these calculations at warp speed?
It wasn't about what he was going to do, it was what we was going to do to him. But I know my guy, because that's why I think it's important for a trainer to know their fighter and know, you know, where they're at any particular time. And I feel that can only be found out when you're with someone or with a trainer or with a fighter for a long period of time. And me and Ant, we've been together from the start. We was together for 2 years before he actually turned professional. So I know Anthony. So I knew the now famous empty the tank. I had a lot of commentators using that word now. I think you got that from me. Like, yeah, empty the tank. Yeah, I never heard anyone saying empty the tanks before. But, you know, that empty tank was like, I know Anthony's a fighter. I know we're in Russia. As a coach, I know we're not going out of points. So it's like, we're either going to go for it, we're not going to go for it. And it's so funny that the criticism that I received for saying that to Anthony at that particular time, that's the round everyone talks about. Yeah. No one ain't talking about the 11th round when he inevitably, you know, he lost. It was that moment in time, because that's the magic, innit? That's the moment there. You want to see a fighter go for it. And I don't want to mention any names, but you need that as a fighter sometimes. You need someone to bring that out of you. Otherwise, you just stay there and you just take a beating. You know, you get stopped or you get beaten up and you don't feel that you've gone there and given it your all. And I feel me making that call on that night and me making a call on the better be of night is... were two right calls, you know. One saved them for another day, and one was, let's go for it. This is what we want. This is what we're here for. This is what you tell me that you want. Inevitably,
it's a life changing win.
It's a life changing, and this is the moment. This is that's why I knew when to say it. You know, he trusted me. He went for it. He knew. Again, when I say he trusted me, Ant knows himself.
Should we get the feature in?
Yeah. Speaking of emptying the tank. I think it's time for the feature, George.
We've got to do a feature.
Yes.
Right, it's George's. George has done this. This is George's.
Best one yet.
Is it the best we've ever done?
Best one we've ever done.
Okay, we had some good names flying around as well.
Yeah.
So it's always a pun on the guest name.
Yes.
What do we go for, George?
Well, it's obviously, if I could turn back time.
Yeah, if I could turn back time. Shout out Thunderwall. Which is what Steve came up with. We're going to do an Oasis-based quiz, but we went with Tumback Time.
Wasn't sure you was a big Oasis fan.
No.
Yeah.
You couldn't have hung with me there. So what's the premise? What are we doing? And is it me against Tundi? Should I be looking
songs
at...
or something?
No.
So it's... No, this... right. I've got a list of famous fights, right? Okay. And I want to know...
You're going to be good at this.
What year... the fight took place, right?
I'll be terrible at this.
Closest wins.
Okay, nice.
And then maybe we'll just take it in turns. One of you answer first.
Okay.
Can't we do the one where you give me the answers before and, and we just film it?
If it's really shit, if it's terrible, we can edit it.
We'll tidy it up. Don't worry.
I literally don't watch nothing.
No, they're just Mayweather fights somewhere.
And even that, I don't know the years. Like, Spencer's like the historian.
Yeah,
I'm
really
like
is.
The now historian. Like, I don't. My brain doesn't. There's record none, things.
Yeah. There's too many pad combinations in there. Yeah. It's got no space for dates.
That's what everyone says.
What?
I don't remember. Okay, no
so
years.
Who's going first?
Listen, we'll chat.
Right. Deck, you can answer first.
Okay.
And then you can say.
So you're
going to
give me.
Think it's sort of higher or lower.
You're going to give me the fight.
Whether it's sooner or later.
You give me the fight, and I'll tell you.
Okay.
The
so right. First fight is Rocky Marciano against Joe Louis.
52.
Higher.
So close.
Yeah. Later.
I think it was later.
Later. No, it's 51.
Oh,
that's
mate.
Really good.
Oh, yeah, I get the point though.
Yeah, you get the
point. Yeah, that's brilliant.
It was only a 10 rounder.
Wow. And he wins the belt a year later against Jersey Joe Walcott.
Mm, nice.
Right.
1-0 to you, under pressure, mate.
This is why I need Spencer.
He'll be going, it was 51!
Jake LaMotta fought Ray Robinson 6 times, but only won once. What was the year that he beat Ray Robinson?
Fuck me, mate. How long are they all in the... Are they all in?
I'll start off as we mean to...
We'll start hard.
I'm going to say 56.
I'm going to go the one he won. I'll say it was earlier than that.
Yeah, it was. It was 1943.
Yeah.
43.
2-0. Come on.
During the war. And three weeks later, Robinson eventually lost.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah,
in crazy. The same place, right. Okay. Floyd Mayweather.
It's me first, yeah?
Yes. Nah.
Thank you.
Is it? Yeah, all right. Yes. Floyd Mayweather retains his unbeaten record against Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, the Pacquiao fight, I was there. I think that was 2000 and... 18?
I think it's before that.
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah, see?
I'm terrible at this. So he's back.
Yeah.
I was fucking there. That's 8 years ago.
Yeah. He became 48-0.
Yes.
Before fighting.
And then Berto. Yeah.
And then Berto and McGregor. Right.
Joe Calzaghe, Mikhail Kesler.
Joe's my favourite British fighter of all time.
That doesn't count for any points.
That don't count for any points. But let's say... I don't know, 2002?
Oh, I was going to say 2003.
It's 2007.
Oh.
2007.
Yeah, Millennium Stadium. Kesler was 39-0 at the time. Right, Lennox Lewis, Vander Holyfield won.
That would be 1998.
I'll say before that. Oh, no, not... Yeah, I would say... No, it's not before that. What did he say? 98?
I said 98.
He said 98. It's close.
I think it's maybe. I think it was 99. Actually,
yes.
Oh,
very good on the button.
Double points. Yeah,
yeah.
He's back. That's about 4-3 now. 99 was it?
They thought both fights were in 99.
Yeah,
so
see, that's 3-2, man.
Yeah,
probably poker jack. Right. Okay. Oh, well. Right. Oscar De La Hoya fights Pernell Whitaker.
I love that fight.
Yeah, me too.
Gun, who's starting it?
It's you. It's you get the first crack. I've got an idea.
De La Hoya, Whitaker. It feels like a... 2005. Yes, 2006 fight. It feels like that.
I was going to say 2004.
Was you?
Mm.
97.
Oh, 1997.
Yeah,
1997. Fuck
it out. It was at the Thomas and Mack Centre.
I was 10.
I got that right.
I was 10.
Yeah. They all had different eras.
97.
What did he say, 2007?
Yeah, he boxed, Mayweather in 2005 or something like that.
That was a long time later.
Yeah.
This is where boxing.
Yeah, need boxing. All right, I think I'm still winning though.
Right, Ken.
No, that's even.
I
go with the year before. Oh. No, you was Arthur, so
we don't
it's 3-3 now.
We don't score. Same team who's winning.
Yeah. Ken Norton, Larry Holmes.
Oh,
77.
Ken Norton, Larry Holmes.
WBC champion, Norton, beaten on a split decision over 15 rounds at Caesars Palace.
I'm going to say 73.
78.
Oh, mate, I'm so close.
78.
You know who would have got everyone is Spencer Fearon.
Everyone.
If he didn't, yeah.
He can't be called himself the knowledge.
No. I can't believe I didn't get 78. Okay, what's next? Right. It's you now, Tunde.
Anthony Yard's debut.
2015.
Yeah.
I was going to say that as
well. Wembley Arena.
Yeah, because that's my business.
Yeah, he knows that one.
My business, I would never... Yeah,
etched in his mind.
Right. Lennox Lewis versus Mike Tyson.
That was if the Holyfield ones were 19, that was 2001.
I'm going to say 96.
It's 2002.
Oh! What's
about and then Lewis boxed Klitschko, that was it.
Yeah, that was it, 2002. That was it. I thought he boxed Klitschko in 2002, so then Tyson was before in Memphis in 2001.
Nope.
bro.
Is that all? Have we got any more?
No, one more.
Okay, go on, you go, Tindy.
We've all established that my boxing dates.
Yeah, but terrible at dates.
Terrible.
Oliver McCall against Frank Bruno.
Come on, Frank. That's like Frank's biggest win. Oh no, is that the one he got? No,
he was at Wembley Stadium.
He beat McCall.
Wembley, yeah.
That's where he won the WBC, right?
Yeah.
Again, it seems so.
I got a number in my mind, so it'll probably be one year.
The number
out.
In my mind. I'm just thinking.
When was Bruno biggest?
Yeah. Like, what was his heyday?
It's the '90s, isn't it? His heyday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say 98.
I'm going 95.
It is 95.
Come on, finally.
Yeah.
I reckon that's got to be a win.
Yeah, we don't see, have a tiebreaker.
I dreamed it and I believed it and now I've become the winner. Yeah, happy day. Speaking of winning, yes. Anthony Yard is winning when it comes to the era of light heavyweights just in this country.
Yes.
Like, what a crop that he's part of. We said in the pod before, first time ever, surely, that 1-5
yes.
with the WBC, I think, was all Brits.
Yeah.
Which is wild, really.
I think, and even in the Ring magazine, all of us are in the top 10.
Yeah.
I think five. Boatsy, Aziz, Anthony, Callum Smith.
Mm. Craig Richards?
I think Craig's might have entered the
missing
Ring magazine
someone else
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's a great time for, you know, British fighters challenging themselves. I think, again, I don't know, I'm always thinking about this position they've put Callum Smith in, because to me, he's not proven it light heavy yet. He's fought a guy, he's fought, what's the guy? Bivol went the distance.
Castillo. Lenin huh? Castillo.
Lenin Castillo. But I don't know. Did you know Lenny Castillo?
No, I knew it from the Bivol fight.
Yeah, and then he fought a guy that refused to fight us.
Baldelik.
And again, that's what a lot of people don't realise. When people say Ant's not fighting no one, they're not queuing up to fight Ant.
I think you can beat him?
It's going to be tough.
Mm.
Because...
In Montreal.
In Montreal. And the fact that I wasn't happy with his performance against Canelo. I don't feel he didn't show the grit. Like, you go in there and you fight, and but I know Callum Smith can fight. I know he's a good fighter. So again, occasion, it's Canelo, isn't it? So you don't know how people are going to react when they get in there. But I know Canelo cannot punch like Arthur Beterbiev, and I feel that mentally Arthur is one of the strongest fighters today. It's not the age, it's his mindset, you know, that Terminator mindset. It's like when you put him down, he's like, ah, cool, I was messing about, now I'm gonna switch a level. How long can he keep doing that at the age of 40? Age is a number, you know. Hopkins, age is a number for certain individuals. Again, people talk about Anthony fought no one. You look at common opponents, we've got common opponents. Callum Smith went the distance with Nemes Patty and brutalized Nemes Patty in 4 rounds.
Chicken, you know, Patty, he called him.
Patty, yeah. Patty. He got the Patty that night. Yeah, Jamaican Patty, he got that night. And so it's good because, you know, you start, when the fights match up, you look at the comparisons and what they do and what they possibly can do. Callum, obviously, unified champion. I think it was Ring Magazine champion. I think that was your last
that
fight.
Was, yeah,
yeah, so
that
you don't want to talk about Callum.
That's
all right. Yeah, yeah. But good fighter. Probably was a light heavyweight from the beginning, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think he was. He must have been tired at super. He's
and you as well. You're massive.
Mm. Yeah, I was tired of the weight.
Yeah,
And that might have been why he's been sometimes a little bit off. And then maybe that's why the performance against
John
Canelo
Ryder
wasn't quite there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and Ryder,
and he took it at short notice as well. Mm. That's the thing about these short notice fights against these type of opponents, level of opponents. Like, you're never giving yourself a good chance.
All right, before we got to wrap up because we've run out of time. Before we do though, Tundi, people can hear from you every week, right?
Yes, sir.
Your podcast, you and Spencer, the Fight is Right podcast,
Sunday nights.
Live, yes, as well?
Yep, live.
So people can get in touch during, yeah. No editing.
Just nah. Cool, we just phone deck. Yeah, George, what are you saying? Yeah, come jump on. Like, it's crazy.
Every Sunday, yeah?
Every Sunday. Mm. Loving it. I was even thinking about doing more episodes. But, I'm so tired when I come out from gym.
Don't like, talk more.
I don't like. I can't deal with Spencer's antics three times a week. That'd be a bit too much for me. But yeah, that's the platform. The Fight Is Right, Stamina for Soul YouTube channel. Every Sunday 8 p.m. and it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun, and we've got, again, we started it in lockdown. You know, I have over 16,000 subscribers now that tune in. You know, our watch alongs get bigger numbers than some of the major platforms, YouTube. Like, I don't know why they, George, you need to make a phone call, mate, because we need to be commentating at ringside.
Yeah.
The Fight Is Right team, Spencer Fearon, and because, again, I don't know whether you've heard my commentary, but it's like, it's, even if a fight's crap, I'll make it sound like it's bloody Sugar Ray Leonard against it?
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.